I have come to you, Krishnaji, as a humble seeker comes to a guru, not in the sense of hero worship, but in its literal sense as the remover of darkness of ignorance, which the word guru stands for. Gukarascha andhakarascha rukarastha nirodhakah andhakara vinashitvat gururitya vidyate. Gu stands for the darkness of ignorance, and Ru stands for the its remover, its dispeller. And hence, the Guru is the light that dispels the darkness of ignorance. And you are that light for me now. We sit in the tent listening to you, and I cannot help visualizing similar scenes. For instance, Buddha addressing the bhikshus, or Vasishtha instructing Rama in the royal court of Dasharatha. Thinking of these gurus, we have a few examples in the Upanishads. First, there was Varuna, the guru, is very much like you. He merely prods his disciple with the words, tapasa brahma vijignyasasva, tapo brahmeti. Tapo brahmeti. What is Brahman? Tapasa brahma vijignyasasva. Don't ask me. Tapo brahma. Tapas or austerity or discipline or what you often say, find out, is Brahman. And the disciple himself discovers the truth though by stages. Yajnavalkya and Uddhalaka adopt a more direct approach. Yajnavalkya, instructing his wife Maitreyi, uses the neti neti method. You can't describe Brahman positively, but when you eliminate all the others,
it is there.
It is there. As you said the other day, love cannot be described, this is it, but only by eliminating what is not love. Uddhalaka used several analogies to enable his disciple to see the truth, and then nailed it in with the famous expression, Tattvamasi. Dakshinamurti instructed his disciples by silence and chinmudra. Chitram vadataror mule vriddha shishya gurur yuva gurostu maunavyakhyanam shishyastu chinnasamshya. It is said that the Sanat Kumaras went to him for instruction, and this young, when I read the descriptions of what Krishnamurti was when his young age, I am often reminded of that. These old sages went to him, and Dakshinamurti just kept silent and showed the Chinmudra. And the disciples looked at him, enlightened. And it is believed that one cannot realize the truth without the help, or whatever you call it, of a guru. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. Obviously, even the people who regularly come to Sanan are greatly helped in their quest. What, according to you, is the role of a guru, preceptor, or teacher, or awakener?
Right. So, if you're using the word guru in the classical sense, which is the dispeller of darkness, of ignorance, can another, whatever you be, enlightened or stupid, another, really help to dispel this darkness in oneself? Suppose A is ignorant and you are his guru. Guru in the accepted sense, one who dispels darkness, and one who carries the burden for another also, one who points out. Taking all the meaning of those three, meaning of one who points out, one who carries the burden, one who dispels darkness, that's a guru. Can such a guru help another to, or rather, can the guru dispel darkness of another? Not theoretically, but actually. Can you, Vitsa, can you, if you are the guru of someone, can you dispel the darkness of another? For another? Knowing he's unhappy, confused, not enough brain matter, not enough love, sorrow, you follow all that, can you dispel that? Or has he to work tremendously on himself? You may point out, you may say, look, go through that door, but he has to do the work entirely from the beginning to the end. Therefore, you are not in a guru in the accepted sense of that word. If you say he, another cannot help him.
There's just this if and but. The door is there, I have to go. But there is this ignorance of where the door is,
which you
by pointing out remove.
I have to walk there.
I have to walk, I'll walk.
You, sir, you are the guru and you point out the door. You have finished your job.
Yeah. So then darkness of ignorance is removed.
No, your job is finished. It's now for me to get up, walk, see what is involved in walking,
and I
have to do all that.
That is perfect.
Therefore, you don't dispel my darkness.
I'm sorry. Now, I don't know how to get out of this room.
You point
it out. So that I am ignorant of the existence of a door in a certain direction. And the guru removes the darkness of that ignorance.
Sir, wait a minute.
And then I take the necessary steps to get out.
No, ignorance, let's be clear. Ignorance being lack of understanding or lack of the understanding of oneself. Not the big self or the little self. The door is the me through which I have to go. It isn't outside of me. It isn't a factual door as that painted door. It's a door in me through which I have to go. You said do that.
Exactly.
And you as a guru have finished.
Finished.
Wait. You don't become important. I don't put garlands on your head. You're finished. So I have to do all the work. All the work. You haven't dispelled the darkness of ignorance. You have pointed out to me that you are the door through which you yourself have to go through.
Right. But would you, Krishnaji, accept that pointing out was necessary?
Oh yes, that is of course. I point out, I do that. We do that at the tent.
Yeah.
We all do it. I ask a man on the road, will you please tell me which is the way to Sanan? He'll tell me. But I don't take the time, the devotion, the love, and say, oh my God, you're the greatest.
That's
too childish.
Thank you, sir.
Your gloss there.
Closely related to what the guru is the question of what the disciple is. Disciple is discipline, which you defined as learning. Vedanta classifies the seekers according to their qualifications or maturity and prescribes suitable methods of learning. The disciple with the keenest perception is given the instruction in silence or a brief awakening word like Tattvamasi. Is called Uttamadhikari. The disciple with the mediocre ability is given more elaborate treatment, Madhyamadhikari. The dull-witted is entertained with stories, rituals, etc., hoping for greater maturity. Perhaps you would comment on this system?
Yes, sir.
Adhama Adhikari is called.
The top, the middle, and the bottom.
And the bottom. Mm.
Quite. And that implies, sir, we have to find out what we mean by maturity. Right? What do you...
May I perhaps explain that?
Yes, sir.
You said the other day, the whole world is burning. And you must realize the seriousness of it. And that hit me like a bolt. Even to grasp that truth, there may be millions who just don't bother.
There, of course. They're not interested.
Don't bother. Not interested. That we shall call the Adhama, the lowest. And there are others like the hippies and so on who are interested in, who just
play
see
with.
It, who play with it, exactly. And who may be entertained with stories or who may tell you, look, we know we are all unhappy, we know the whole society is in a mess, we take a drug, LSD and a shot and we go into the Elysium, we don't want anything else. And there may be others who respond to that, the world is burning, that idea. And that immediately sparks them, that's the top.
Yes.
So we find them everywhere.
Yes.
How to handle them?
How to handle the immature...
How totally immature?
The people who are utterly immature... Those who are partially mature...
Sir.
Those... who consider themselves mature.
Correct. Absolutely.
Now, to do that, what do we mean by maturity? What do you think is maturity? Does it depend on age? Time?
I wouldn't say so, no.
So, we can remove that. Time, age is not... indication of maturity.
No.
Or maturity, very learned.
No.
Or maturity, the man who is highly intellectually capable.
No, he may twist and turn and do whatever.
Therefore, he will consider he's not mature.
No.
Then what would you consider a mature, ripe man?
A man who is able to observe.
Go a little more. What would you consider it? The man, obviously, the man who goes to churches, temples, mosques.
No.
The obvious things are not. So, what would one consider a mature man who... Yes, sir, what is it?
In whom...
maturity. He's mature. Not intellectual, not the emotional, not the, not the, who plays intellectual, all the rest of it. We would say, if you eliminate all that, a maturity consists in being not self-centered.
Correct.
Right? Not me first. And everybody else second, or my emotions first. So, a maturity implies the absence of the me.
Absent of fragmentation, to use pure words.
The me, which creates the fragment. Now, how would you appeal to that man, and a man who is half and half? Me and not me, plays with both, and the other completely me, which is he enjoys himself and does others. So, how do you appeal to these three?
How do you awaken these three? In other words,
how do you awaken these three?
That's the problem.
The man who is completely me. There is no awakening. He is not interested. He won't even listen to you. He will listen to you if you promise him something. Heaven, hell, fear, or more profit in the world, more money, more... But he will do it in order to gain. So the man who wishes to gain, achieve, is immature.
Quite right. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether nirvana, near heaven, moksha, or attainment, enlightenment, he is immature. Right? Now, what will you do with such a man?
Tell him stories.
I know. What should I tell him? What should I befuddle him more with my stories or with your stories or his stories? Why you leave him alone?
Seems too cruel.
Huh? Cruel on whose part? He won't listen to you. Let's be factual, sir. Not.
Yeah.
I mean, you come to me. I am total me. You follow me. I am not concerned with anything but me. And you say, look, you are making a mess of the world. You are creating such misery for man. And you say, please go away.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not.
But that's why they don't say it like that.
No. Put it any way you like. Put it in stories. Cover it with pill, sweet pills, but he is not going to evolve, he is not going to change the me. If he does, he comes to the middle. The me and not me. This is called evolution. The man who is the lowest reaches the middle.
How?
By knocking, by life teaches him. Forces him, wars, hatred, you follow, he's destroyed. And or he goes into a church.
That's where what it is for.
No, that therefore the church is a trap to him. It doesn't enlighten him. It doesn't say, for God's sake, break through. It says, we'll give you what you want. Entertainment. Jesus entertainment, or Hindu entertainment, or Buddhist, or Muslim, whatever it will give you entertainment. Only be the name of God, you know, all that stuff. So they keep him at the same level, with little modifications, little bit polish, little bit more culture, little better clothes, eat properly, you follow me, consider a little bit, not too much others. That's what is happening. So he is the problem, as you said just now, 80% of the world.
More,
90. And then you have the churches, the temples, the mosques, the Buddhist shrines and so on. What can you do? I won't add to him. I won't tell him stories. I won't entertain him. Because there are people who are already entertained.
Thank you.
So why should I join that group? Then there's the middle one, the me and the not me, who does social reform, little bit of good here and there, but always the me operating.
Yeah.
Right? Socially, politically, religiously, in every way the me is operating, but little more quietly, little more polished, little more in the cellar. Now, to him you can talk a little bit. Say, look, social reform is all right in its place, but leads nowhere. And so on, so on, so on. You can talk to him, and perhaps he will listen to you. The other one will not listen to you at all. This chap will listen to you. Pay little attention and say, well, this is too serious. This requires too much work, and slips back into his old pattern. And I will talk to, we will talk to him, but and leave him. What he wants to do is up to him. Now there is the other one, who is getting out of the me, who is stepping out of the circle of the me. There you can talk to him. There he will pay attention to you. So one will talk to all the three. Not distinguish who is mature, who is not mature. We'll talk to the three categories, three types, and leave it to them.
The one who is not interested will walk out?
He walk out of the tent, walk out of the room, walk out of the... That's his affair. He goes to his church, entertainment, football, or whatever it is. Moment I say, you are mature, I'll teach you more.
He is boosted up.
Not only is no, he becomes the the seed of poison is always there. Yeah. So it's like, if the soil is ripe, the grain will take root. And if I say, well, you are mature and you are not mature, that's totally wrong. Who am I to tell somebody who you are mature? It's for him to find out.
But when can a fool find out that he's a fool?
But if he's a fool, he won't even listen to it. You see, sir, we start out with the idea of wanting to help.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, that's what we are basing the whole discussion on. Yes,
we want to help people. I think that approach is not valid. Except in the medical world or in the technological world, it is necessary. I'm ill, I go to the doctor to be cured. Here, psychologically, if I'm asleep, I won't listen to you. If I'm half awake, I will listen to you according to my vacant state or moods, according to my up and down. Therefore, there's the one man who says, I really want to awake. Keep psychologically awake. To him, you can. He's also. So, we talk to all of them, and not say, well.
Thank you. That clears a big misunderstanding. When sitting alone, I reflect over what you had said earlier in the day. I cannot help the spontaneous feeling. The Buddha said so. Or Vasishtha said so. Though immediately I endeavor to cut through the imagery of the words to find the meaning. You help us find the meaning, though perhaps that is not your intention. So did Vasishtha and the Buddha. People come here as they went to those great ones. Why? What is there in human nature that seeks, gropes and grasps a crutch? Again, not to help them may be cruelty. To spoon feed them may be greater cruelty. What to do?
Quiet. The question being, why do people need crutches?
Yes, and whether to help them or not?
Yes.